Honest information about living a healthy lifestyle on RadioMD.com. It's time for Naturally Savvy with natural visionary Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis.
Hello, everyone. Lisa's away today, so I'll be hosting the show solo. Our next guest, Myra Gibarovich, is a licensed social worker, educator, and author of Recovering from Genocidal Trauma, an information and practice guide for working with Holocaust survivors. She started the first community-based social service program for Holocaust survivors in Canada and is internationally recognized as a pioneer in this area. Welcome to the show, Myra.
Oh, thanks for having me, Andrea.
So I'd love for you to tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how it led to your work with Holocaust survivors, because it's super fascinating.
Okay. Well, I knew that working with Holocaust survivors was my calling, and it's never been a career. It's always been a calling. When I became a social work intern in the mid-1980s, and I began to identify their unique needs. My life's work has its beginnings in early childhood, because I'm the daughter of survivor parents. Both my parents are survivors from the Lodz Ghetto and Auschwitz death camp. Hmm. My mother was the only survivor from an extended family of 80 people. So my early childhood influenced me in choosing a career. As a young child, I saw myself as an agent of change because my birth transformed my parents' lives. I know that it brought them joy, because I symbolized their survival and hope for the future.
Well, for sure. I mean, you helped them, carry on their legacy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was born in a displaced persons camp in Bavaria, after war. And I was the first child born in my parents' circle of friends. And I remember growing up and my parents telling me that their greatest satisfaction and that of their friends was seeing lots of baby carriages in the camp, because it symbolized hope and renewal. So that's the legacy that you're talking about, the next generation. So helping people change and making a positive difference, this continues to inspire my passion today and has greatly influenced my work.
So I'm guessing that's what inspired you to write the book, is to really give, is this book for everybody? Is it for a certain amount of people, like specific people who are teaching and working with Holocaust survivors and with other victims of trauma, I would guess?
Yes. It's for a very general service providers in generally, although the focus is on Holocaust survivors, but it's intended to reach a diverse audience from a variety of background, but using the experience of Holocaust survivors. So,
Yeah. People from different genocidal trauma, give us an example, define what genocidal trauma means. I think that's important for people who are listening. They may not really understand what that means in itself. So, we sometimes think of it has to do with the Holocaust, but there are other genocidal traumas that have occurred. So just really quickly.
Exactly. Well, we talk about today the term in the literature is called mass atrocity crimes. And by mass atrocity crimes, we're talking about genocide. We're talking about crimes against humanity. Ethnic cleansing. So that's what we're talking about. And we know that there are genocides and these type of traumatic events that continue, to this day. So my book describes service models. It describes a philosophy in working with Holocaust survivors that is applicable to these different populations. And I think the important thing about my book is that it gives hope to individuals that recovery is possible.
Now, your book is more, it focuses more on a positive aspect than it does on negative. We've heard people talk about the Holocaust, and I find that, when people talk about it, it's always, obviously understandable. It comes from a place of, sadness and maybe, it doesn't show the positive side. Now, from, your book is different. It talks about the positive aspects. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. It's what makes my book unique is, and I'm told that it provides a very fresh perspective for understanding and interacting with survivors. So one of the things that makes it unique is its strength-based approach. So what do I mean by a strength-based approach? It's a philosophy that is guided by the values and principles of social work. So it emphasizes that individuals have strengths, that they're resilient, And survivors demonstrated that beginning in the displaced persons camps of Europe at the end of the war, where they were highly motivated to rebuild their lives.
So focusing on the positive as opposed to the fact that they just went through this, you know, saying, okay, we could rebuild, we're survivors, as opposed to focusing on the negative.
Exactly. And the literature in the post-war years very much focused on the ways in which they had been scarred. It focused on their disabilities or the pathology. And it didn't recognize their adaptation and resilience. You know, my master's research at McGill identified their contributions to the Montreal Jewish community, and the areas of contribution were Jewish education, for example, contributions to their cultural, to the institutional development of the city. And this is something that's important to recognize, but at the same time, not losing sight of what their vulnerabilities are. Because they have been affected by their traumatic events, and we can't deny that. But I think that we need to acknowledge their resiliency, their strength, their adaptation, without losing sight of their vulnerabilities.
Now, and I think that's a very good point. So it definitely shows, you know, the positive side of it, which I guess the silver lining, right? I mean, I think that's what's important to focus on. So,
yes.
The Holocaust survivor, the population, now they're aging, and, you know, what is the average age? I guess I know it spans, there's children survivors to older survivors. Give me just a little bit of an understanding in terms of the span of the age of the people who are Holocaust survivors who are living today.
Yeah, well, there are two subgroups. So there's the older survivor, and they're 85 years of age and older. And then there are the child survivors, which means that they were children during the war, or 16 years of age or younger in 1945. Okay. And aging is having its effect on Holocaust survivors. So, for example, the losses associated with the aging process is forcing them to approach communities for help, and many for the first time. They're a fiercely independent group of individuals. So, for example, some of the losses, you know, of aging is the death of a family member, a spouse, for example, their loss of autonomy, illness, having to move out of their present home and having to relocate for a residence.
So these are sparks.
I beg your pardon?
These are traumatic. These are events that are sparking memories.
Yeah, exactly. And it can remind them of their war experiences, exactly that. And so their past experiences also, particularly for people who have a touch of dementia, may reverberate in the present, and sometimes it merges into one. So everyday sights and sounds, for example, may trigger a traumatic memory. And sometimes this results in baffling behavior. So, for example, survivors may refuse to take a shower, afraid that they will be gassed. You know, they may become anxious or angry when lining up for food. You know, trains, crowds, dogs. This may trigger painful memories, and it requires understanding and a compassionate response. So that's an area that I cover in great detail in my book.
Which is why, you know, services that you offer. I mean, unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but I'd love to have you come back on and talk a little bit as well as the holistic approach you take with the survivors in your special service. And I think that we can get into that, you know, in future shows, because I do love what you do and the approach that you take. So thank you for being on our show today. It goes by so fast, but I appreciate you being on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I'd be very happy to come back and talk about a holistic approach to well-being.
You can learn more about Myra at her website at Myra, M-Y-R-A, Gibberovich, GIBEROVITCH.com. I'm Andrea Donsky. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Stay well.